Welcome to episode 8 of the Empower Life podcast. I'm your host, Crystal Anderson, and I'm here with my co-host, Bosky Snipes. On today's episode, we have a special guest, Alec Taylor. Alec is a man of many talents, one of which comes from being an outdoorsman with survival skills that he wants to share with young adults. In this interview, we'll be chatting with Alec about bushcrafting, survival, and his upcoming workshop event. Stay tuned. All right. So today we're here with Alec Taylor. How are you doing today, Alec?
Great. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful.
Awesome.
So we just wanted to get on here with you today to just talk a little bit about what you got going on. We are going to be attending an outdoor bushcrafting workshop with you in another week or so. And so we just wanted to talk to you a little bit more about bushcrafting and how you got started and why you think it's really important. Obviously, we're, you know, directing our information towards young adults. This is information that's good for anyone, but, you know, we just want to hear from you what your motivation was for starting this work and why is it so important for young people to know how to have this set of supplies?
Well, I believe it's important for not only young people, but all people should have these skill sets to manage to save themselves, you know, out in the wilderness, maybe the desert, jungle, or forest. Self-reliance is good. And not all of us are taught that. We are so dependent upon the system. And my thoughts have always been, well, what if something breaks one day? So, not only that, I kind of started since I was a kid, fascination with like watching the A-Team and MacGyver, always fixing things and making stuff and surviving. So, all of that stuff kind of just added up. And then, being in the ROTC Air Force, that I took some skills from there, and I never knew I'd end up doing this, honestly, but I knew that I want to help people, and one way I can help people is by teaching them my skills that I've actually used before. So
absolutely.
It's just a good thing. It's something I didn't know. It could be marketed. I had no clue until I started looking on Instagram and seeing people actually, bushcrafters out there actually doing it. And theirs consist of, a lot of people's bushcrafting consists of things like going into the forest, making a ladle out of a piece of wood with your carving knife, or making tent stakes, pegs, toggles for traps. There's just so many things, bowls so you can eat out of. It's just like replacing your house when you're out in the wilderness, because wilderness provides everything. You just have to be mindful and know how to be in the know-how. And that's where I come in.
Absolutely. I'm super excited to actually come out there and, you know, take the workshop. Can you talk a little bit about some of the skills that you'll be sharing and actually like why you're, you know, going to share those specific things?
Well, for this class is going to be for basically beginners. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for beginners. So like basically I'm going to have like the pretext for going out, just like camping. For instance, what's the first thing I do when I go out? I look for the 4 W's. Say I'm out in the Eastern Washington, kind of foresty, kind of desert, right? Mm-hmm. The first thing I'm going to look for is 4 W's. I like to call it wind, water, wood, and widowmakers. Well, mm-hmm. Those might not know what widowmakers are. Those are trees that have dead branches that could fall, or the whole tree could be dead. It could fall on you. So you want to look for those kind of things as you're setting up a spot to batten down for the night. Mm-hmm. Those are the most important things. You want to make sure, you want to check your wind. you know, you know, make sure you might want to be downwind or upwind. It just depends on the situation. Water, number one thing, and wood. So does everything that I have in the 4 W's, is it here in this area? So those are the types of things that I'll be sharing with the class. Tips like that, proper ways to cut wood, a few ways to start fires, a few ways to get your tinder for fires, wet or cold or hot. I'm going to show a couple of poisonous plants that are out here in the Northwest that I know for sure, at least 4 or 5 of them, that are not good. So like when you're foraging, looking for food, those 4 or 5 you should really know, especially for here in the Northwest. Just all the facets, basically, of outdoor living.
Awesome. I'm really excited. We have really recently kind of just gotten into like camping and things like that. That's not something that I grew up doing. And, you know, my family, we just really weren't, like, my parents weren't taking us out on no camping trips or nothing like that, you know?
Right. Well, it's so, a lot of improvising. Sorry.
Yeah. No. So I was just going to say, you know, I'm actually really interested. I find that, you know, being out in nature has so many benefits aside from, you know, just, you know, what people think, you know, well, it's, you know, calming, you know, you could release some stress, you know, being out in nature, mental, you know, for your mental well-being and things like that, and just kind of getting away from it all.
It's healing. It's very healing, and it can be very unforgiving. So preparation and knowing what you're doing is the essentials, is everything.
And that is exactly the key. That's where I was going, because as a person who, you know, I might just go to a park or, you know, just, you know, dip my toes in the water or whatever, get back in my car and go home. But it's a whole different story when you're, you know, out there and, you know, you just have a tent, or you just, you know, like you don't know what the dangers are that could be out there and how to be prepared for them. So I think it's super important.
Yeah, I love that practical hands-on aspect of what you're trying to show everybody. To be able to watch on a slideshow or watch a YouTube on how to survive is completely different than being out there in the elements and seeing how these poisonous plants, how easy they blend in with the non-poisonous, and understanding, especially when it's time to, like you mentioned, bed down, you have to find all of the hazards prior to it getting dark, because that's too late. So
critters, fire ants to roaches to anything and everything, you got to prepare for the worst. And there's always a way to do it. There's always a way to circumvent whatever you're going through. Saying you got to always keep your calm and you can do it. You know, God gave us the strength to do all of this and to conquer it. So it is amazing, but at the same time, it's not. Like, to me, I mean, it just needs to be shared. Everyone needs to know it, I believe.
Yeah, you mentioned fire ants. To know that there's fire ants in the area, but then to have your tent sitting on a fire ant hill without noticing, because during the daytime, it's hot, they're not out running around. But as it cools off, they starts coming out. And by that time, you've already set up your tent. You've got nice and cozy in the bed. So to be able to understand those cues of where they'll have their beds is important. And you only get that through hands-on. So I think it's awesome that you have it set up the way you do.
Or thank you. Or even hammocks, for instance. I'll be bringing a hammock. It's in my EDC, my go bag. I keep a hammock in there. And now if I'm out there and I don't have any wood to build a raised bed or anything like that, I got my trusty hammock. So I take that on my back. I put it up to 2 trees. I look at the trees first, right? I pick my trees wisely. Now, what if them trees have nothing but ants on them? Right. They're going to go onto the rope and get into your bag, right? So there's something to do that. You take your DEET or whatever, and you rub it on the ropes. You put it around the rope. Now the bugs ain't going to go on the rope to get to you. And you can take the top of the tarp. I like to get the two-person one. I have a 2-person tarp. Mm-hmm. But it's usually me, and I'm pretty skinny. So I can just take the rest of the tarp, put my canteen in the pocket, and then flip it over me. Now it's weighted down, and you're sealed in for the night. No bugs come in.
Oh, and a little breeze as it picks up at night while you're trying to sleep. Oh, this is ingenious.
Yeah, it's a little tip I figured out in the summertime while I was laying out there, and it was getting a little chilly. We're at the beach, so I was like, it keeps flipping back over. The wind keeps flipping the tarp back the opposite way. So I was trying to stay covered. So I put that water bottle in there in that pocket and flipped it over my body. Now I'm in there, snug like a bug in a rug, nice and warm.
Now I know you're a man of great empathy and generosity, but we can't give away all your tips. They got to come from the fire.
Okay. I got so many. Oh, my goodness. I just got so many.
Yeah, and I love that, though, because, you know, I think that part of this is about creativity, right? And, like, even giving people the awareness and the permission to, like, say, hey, you know what, there's some things that you really need to know, but you can also be really creative and explore and do things in the spur of the moment, right? That are going to, at the end of the day, could be the difference between life and death.
But it's a challenge.
And you allow yourself the opportunity to learn something new, but also have that creativity.
So it sounds like survival isn't just being knowledgeable. Survival kind of boils down to your mindset of staying positive and knowing that you're going to figure it out.
100%. That's exactly it. Because you can have the skills, but if your mind's not right, for instance, they used to call it shell shock, whatever, when the young GIs would see what they seen in NAM right away, the 19-year-olds got over there, they would freak out, and it's either fight or flight. You know, no matter how much training you've went through, it's all in the mind. So when you're under these conditions, or if you've been tested under these conditions before and you find that you can do it, like I have in a few times in life, I put myself to the test, and it's survival. Like they say, survival of the fittest.
As a multi-tour combat vet, I can 100 attest to what you're saying.
Well, I probably hasn't hiked as much as you. No, I already done all those nice excursions and whatnot. But I read a lot, I watch a lot, and I practice a lot. So, Charlie Mir too is pretty much what gets you through. But when you're out there and you don't have that knowledge, trial and error can kill you too.
Absolutely.
So that's why it's important. And I want to challenge some of the youth that are there. I'm going to be asking questions too, little tricky questions for them to see if they're knowledgeable or paying attention.
Outstanding.
Right on. Right on. So any other comments that you have that you think would add value to our listeners today?
If you stay ready, you don't ever have to get ready.
I love that.
Remember that. If you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. And also, preparedness is everything. Not just for earthquake or for a new baby, diapers and this and that. Preparedness in life. So with that mindset, we can accomplish anything and everything. And that's what us as people of color, we need to keep sharing with the youth of today, or of tomorrow, is that they can do it. And we need to stand behind them and show them. Because not all of us had those opportunities growing up.
Yes, absolutely.
No matter what time frame, as long as you're alive, not everyone has equal opportunities. So
yeah,
I was put here on this earth to share my equal opportunity with other people.
Love it.
Yeah.
That energy.
I love that. I think that what the takeaway for me is hope. That, you know, if you're finding yourself in a situation coming upon hard times, that, you know, you can always flip that in your mind and have hope. And also, like you said, being prepared, being ready, and knowing that you can do it. You know, 9 times out of 10, most of us are not going to find ourselves in the wilderness in a situation that's life or death,
So little tips and stuff like that, I pay attention to because those things can save your life. Simple things like that. Mm-hmm. But just kind of mindlessly store all this stuff in my head.
Well, I, for one, am grateful that you have the desire to store all that stuff in your head because I'm going to learn a lot. I'm super excited to come and take this workshop with you. And we're going to also in the show notes tell people how, you know, if there's going to be some future additional workshops, how they can get a hold of you.
Well, you asked me earlier, how did I, what made me want to do this? Mm-hmm. Also, one more thing is, more or less, I was pushed by my wife to do this. I thought this stuff was mindless stuff that no one could ever, that anyone would take me serious. But yeah, so my better half helped me out and pushed me and gave me the, helped me get my drive to get this program going. So that was my other half of it.
That's probably why you're so successful. You've learned to listen to good advice.
It took a while. I'm a knucklehead, but I'm thankful. I'm thankful for all the good people in my life.
Yes, yes, yes.
Including
yes.
you too. Thank you very much for the interview. It's been awesome.
You are more than welcome. And like I say, we will be keeping our listeners up to date on the workshop, what our results are, how amazing it is, and any future workshops that are going to be coming up. I know that people are going to be really interested in finding out how they can participate as well. So I'm going to go ahead and end the interview, and we will see you next weekend.
Okay.
If you'd like to get more information about Alec Taylor and his bushcrafting workshops, please check the show notes for links and our Facebook page. If you'd like to continue to support Empower Life and this podcast, please consider making a cash donation, and there is a link in the show notes for that as well. Until next time.